Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, our phone number 564-1290, or after the program, radiorealestate.com. Did a wonderful MC benefit last night for the Arts Fund. It was the first time I ever did an MC. And he said, well, we'll call you the MC. I said, you know, I'd rather be called the Master of Ceremonies. And then I realized that MC stood for Master of Ceremonies. So I learned something. It was a lot of fun. It was down at the beach, and the Arts Fund is located kitty corner from the new VA furniture, and it's a great fundraising event. So, okay, talking with President Brooke Warwick, BW to his friends, and he is he's a surveyor. He's out there. He's surveying people. Now, here's my two suggestions, and then we'll want to talk about some horror stories in honor of Halloween. Builders horror stories, and then maybe segment three we might just have you talk about kitchens. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right, you have no choice anyway.
Okay.
Okay, now on your form, you're asking this question. It's a question 6A, and it says, who has the longest commute? And the first option was you. And I thought, well, you, meaning you, Brooke, it should be myself. Because up on top there, you had a question, and it says, this is my first home, or I was renting. But here you turned it around and you changed hats. What do you think? Who has the longest commute? Myself.
Well,
not you.
Are you an English major?
Second correction. 7D. It says, if your previous home was in one of these zones, which one was it? Now, someone who checked that their previous home was a rental, they might get a little confused. This one I'm not as upset about. I guess that's so you could say if your previous home, and then in parentheses you could say owned or rental, because they might think, oh, but wait, I didn't own my previous home.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of minor, just something to take into consideration.
When you write surveys like this, you try to put them in the language that people think in, as opposed to the language that typical English majors would want. And I get this all the time, and I've been doing this for a long time, and you try to put it in the phrases that people will deliver up to you if they're standing in front of you and talking to you.
So in other words, you're not going to take my suggestions. Brooke, I actually didn't expect you to respond at all. I figure everyone's a critic, and I'm sure everyone tells you what to do, and you know, you can just ignore me. That's okay.
They all tell me what to do.
That's okay. Now, so you're out there getting information to builders and developers. So you are entrenched and you see a lot of building and you have some stories for us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just entitle them Real Estate Horror Stories. You had mentioned, you take your pick. You had mentioned mold. You had mentioned critters in the walls. You had mentioned the live animals. You had mentioned termites. Give us your best shot.
Well, if you ever go to a party and there are real estate developers there, don't mention the word mold. They're going to fall over in apoplexy. But, you know, there are a lot of moving parts in houses. And, you know, for example, when the framers come in and put in the frames, and then the sheetrockers come in and put the walls on top of that, you know, sometimes critters get in there. It's nice and warm in those walls, unfortunately. And then all of a sudden, you know, the house is almost finished and you hear this scratching at the walls. And bring the sheetrockers back in because they have to replace that wall because there's some... And I've seen... cats, squirrels, raccoons, you name it, they get in those walls.
Jeez. And they're able to, you know, locate it and open them up and out they walk?
Well, they just put a hammer through the wall and let them out.
And hopefully they're still breathing at that point.
Well, not always, but hopefully, yeah.
Oh, that could really. Now, what if they miss it? And then I'm sure some kind of lovely aroma starts emanating from the family room wall. Has that happened?
That's happened too, and that's where you have to go in and replace that entire wall. It can get, you know, a builder and a developer don't own the people that actually build the house. So there are a lot of people that, you know, potentially hundreds of people that are involved in building that house, and the sheetrockers and the plumbers and the electrician and all the rest of those people, they don't work directly for the builder. They work for the subcontractor that hired them. And so you get a lot of interesting circumstances.
Yeah, well, a little loss of control. I mean, you would think guys who are drywalling and building a house, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess, obviously, they don't notice these things. They're not intentionally taking their pet cat that they wanted to get rid of and sticking them inside the wall there, are they? Or?
No, they're not doing that. But when you've got, you know, four or five drywallers on a site and, you know, they're trying to finish it by this afternoon, they tend to go pretty fast.
Well, I guess if someone's out there going to do some major remodeling, I guess there's a good reason why you use that plastic sheeting?
Visqueen. Yeah.
And, you know, kind of cordon off your house and everything, because, yeah, you never, you know, when you're building, you can't do it, I guess. But, boy, that's wild. Now, you glossed over the mold story. Didn't you have a brand new house. Brand new house today. Everyone knows about water mitigation and French drains and downspouts and gutters. How can we build a brand new house and have mold?
Yeah, but the other thing they know about is sealing that house so that it's airproof.
Oh.
So the new windows, and there's a sealant that they use on the exterior of the home that they call a Tyvek, which seals it from air. And what happens is if there's any mold in the house to begin with, the construction of the project just makes it that much worse because they're putting all this insulation in there.
Good point. I've heard about this. We try to become so efficient, energy efficient.
That's right.
To keep out the cold air and keep out the warm air, it keeps out all the air, ventilation.
That's right.
I had a story of a guy, we had a huge fire down here. Are you familiar with what's known as the Painted Cave Fire here in Santa Barbara County?
Sure.
In the early 90s, and a lot of people lost their homes, and I met a guy through the radio program, built a brand new house, and 10 years right after the 10-year ticket for the builder ran out, the contractor, he went under his house, and it was full of mold. And the contractor never followed the plans to put in the number of vents specified by the architect.
Uh-huh.
And no one double-checked. The county didn't double-check. They gave him his permit. In other words, you get plans, you think someone's double-checking the plans to see that someone followed the plans. I mean, that's what you're paying for your permit. Isn't that what someone should be double-checking somebody?
That's in the best of worlds, unfortunately. This is the real world of construction.
You know, everyone has their nightmare stories about construction contractor just to put in a door. I mean, you know, not to defame an entire industry, but boy, that's a tough one. I like that live animals in the wall, mold. So what's the worst case scenario you've seen with suddenly discovering that a brand new house has mold?
Oh, some of the builders I work for have actually had to tear down brand new houses and start from scratch.
Tear down the entire house.
The entire house. They've also done it because of termites, where the wood that they purchased from the lumber company had termites in it to begin with. So they literally, you know, they tent the house, they do everything they can possibly do, but then they can't fix it, and they just throw their hands up and say, I'm tearing it down.
Well, I mean, if new construction wood, you know, has termites, and it goes up, they don't eat that much. So if you then fumigate the house, why would they then still have a serious enough problem where they'd have to tear down a finished house?
Because the wood was so infected that they got that they literally could not get rid of it with tenting. Literally, they had to tear it down.
Now, you're talking about tearing down a finished house. I mean, it's not finished to the point where they have countertops in and fixtures and all that, is it?
Yes, it is.
No kidding.
No, the guy had bought the house. He was ready to move in, and they discovered that there were termites in the house, and they tried to tent it. That's the easy way, but sometimes wood can get so infected. This is rare, but it can get so infected that there's nothing they can do but tear it down and start over again.
Man, that's got to hurt. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of building going on in the South County here in Santa Barbara, but a lot of renovation.
Sure.
A lot of renovation, and people do take their house down to the studs, and a lot of this goes on. So I'm sure a lot of people are hearing this, and, you know, how much can you do? How much can you double check? How much can you go around when they're building the house and keep an eye on things? I mean, what do you expect, to fumigate the wood before they start building it, or, well, you know?
Well, you know, the things I'm talking about are relatively rare events. As long as someone who's doing a renovation or even new construction shows up at the site pretty regularly and asks questions of the construction manager or the builder, whoever's doing it, typically they can find these things. But you have to show up at the site. I mean, it's literally true. You know, sometimes you have to kind of manage the process.
Yeah, you got to wear every hat. But again, I'm glad you're reiterating, this is the rare story. Obviously, the vast majority of people move in are happy. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, talking with Brooke Warwick, who works president of American Lives Market Research and Innovation, does surveys for builders. We'll come back. We'll stay with Brooke for the third segment and talk a little bit more about some horror stories and also expectations and what's finished. And then we get into fit in the kitchen design. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. Our phone number, 564-1290, or after the program, 898-4242.